Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Yes, sir.
Live from the Geico Studios. And, oh boy, Mike, we have a thing here now. Apparently, we're going to lose a lot of money. Because when we gave our movie idea for any given Tuesday afternoon, last hour, we didn't say patent pending. And Chris says, I've already filed for that patent. So any given Tuesday afternoon, we can't use that as our title anymore.
So I owe him $7?
No. Not until the patent actually goes through. We just can't file for it.
We just got a cease and desist is really what it comes down to.
Yeah. They're going to make you stop saying that any given Tuesday afternoon.
Yeah, no. I'm immersed also in the high drama of blue chips right now. Recruiting is going on. Robert Wool's in there talking, and there's a lot going on. They're just headed to Chicago. I mean, because they got to find some talent. Those guys can't play, and Tony's failing TV, so they got to figure out what the next step is. I'm telling you, it's great drama.
Did Ricky Rogue ask for the tractor yet or no?
Not yet.
No.
Yeah, we're just starting the recruiting process now.
Okay,
he's just showing up. We're in Chicago. He's going to meet Butch.
The guy hasn't shown up and handed Shaquille O'Neal the keys to the car on the street.
No. Still early in the recruiting process, just like it's done in every college that you've ever been in.
Neon Bordeaux? Yeah. Here, this is yours. These aren't my car keys. Yes, they are. Congratulations. That's how it works. A guy just walks up to a player on the street and hands him car keys. Yeah, your car is right there. That's how it works.
Especially, what's the best is if you don't know who it is. Hey, are you Neon? Yes. Congratulations.
Oh, boy. Blue Chips is a very underrated movie.
Oh,
very
classics.
Underrated. You know, and the thing is, what I liked is that you had all the stars in it. You know, you had Shaq and Penny and Matt Nover when he was Ricky Rowe. But it was really about Tony. You know, Tony was the heart and soul of that team, even though he shaved points. Sorry, spoiler alert. You know, he was the heart and soul.
Well,
it was really about him.
Yeah. I mean, Boeheim makes an appearance too, doesn't he?
Yeah.
One of the coaches up in the rafters.
He does. Yes, that's right. He is in it. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
There you go.
But tonight, obviously, while Mike is watching Blue Chips, hopefully we get some good football conversation out of
it. I got a lot of more. Let's go.
You got a lot of more. Hey, I got a lot of more. I'm going to have some pasta. Oh, my God. I had the best pasta of my life last night.
Is that right?
Oh, my goodness. We went to, for my birthday last night, we went to Eataly, and we ate on the roof. Terra is the name of the Eataly restaurant. That's the roof. And it felt like a regular night dining because it's a normal rooftop restaurant. So it's not like you feel that, okay, I'm going to eat outside and I have to sit here and you know, you watch people with masks sitting down. Obviously, they still went in social distance and they sanitized all the tables. But it was a normal outdoor dining experience because you're on the roof and that's the way it is. And eating that meal there, I can't tell you, it just felt like a normal night out with me and Pam and Zoe and my dad. I mean, it felt like a normal night. And I haven't had a night where I've gone out to eat where I felt like, okay, this is a normal night. Not even if I go get fast food because you got to pick it up and it's the contactless with the credit card. It just felt like it was a normal night. And I hit with a wave of, my goodness, I can't get over how this feels. How this feels like such a normal night going out to eat dinner. And then you go back and it's the real world and everything. You're wearing your mask and you're walking to your car and everything else. But I can't get over what it was like. I mean, dinners like this that you would go out for on your birthday or for special occasions, that is just really hard to do now. And it really was something, and it was like a feeling. It's like going out and being drunk or how you feel after something big, and you want to hold on to that feeling for a long time. And I tried to hold on to that for the longest time last night into today, you know, about that meal last night.
Well, hold on to 16 as long as you can. Changes come around real soon. Make us women and men.
Yes, they do. You know, the thing I miss the most about doing the show last night is with the NBA draft going on and the Knicks taking Obi Toppin and, of course, Anthony Edwards going number one overall. All the Berman lines I wanted to run about how Berman would announce Anthony Edwards being drafted number one overall, how Berman would announce Obi Toppin being drafted by the Knicks. I mean, it would be – I mean, all the different Obi-Wan Kenobi lines I have. That would have been the best. And TJ.
And you missed Aaron Torres coming on, and before you do it, TJ. Mm-hmm. And he just wanted to really wash you up about how well the Knicks had drafted.
Yeah, yeah.
And you didn't get to hear it.
Dude, it's a new day for the Knicks, man. It is a new day. I feel awesome about the Knicks and the Mets. When did I ever think I would feel awesome about the Knicks and the Mets? Now I think, yeah, we're coming for you. We're going to
You could have been
everywhere.
Dancing across that rooftop and through the streets of L.A. like you were in La La Land, singing Buble.
Hey, I actually do have a much better voice than Ryan Gosling does. There's no way I don't.
Sure.
Some of that movie was on the other day, and Zoe always says to us, whenever you guys talk about La La Land, you never say it was a good movie. I go, yeah, because it's a musical. And she goes, yeah. I said, so what do you think you need to have a good musical? She goes, I don't know, good singers? I said, yeah, exactly. And neither of them can sing. But they wanted to blow that off because, oh, what a great movie it was and what a tremendous achievement. It's a musical. If you don't have people that can sing, it's not going to be good. So we played the City of Stars scene for it. And Zoe goes, oh, this is really bad. Oh, this is really bad. She takes
so
choir and she goes,
exactly.
Yeah, she takes choir and she goes, Dad, I don't know why. Wow, what octave is he singing in? I think he's making up his own octave. It's okay. City of Stars.
Hey, when you're the star, you can. Anyway, so let's have one OB as done by Chris Berman because you got to get it out of your system.
TJ, when Obi Toppin was projected to go number one and he went number eight, he did say, what I told you was true from a certain point of view, TJ. Was that too obscure?
that might be a little obscure for the casual Star Wars folks out there.
Because that was my Return of the Jedi line when Luke says, how did you tell me that Darth Vader killed my dad? They're the same person. What's wrong with you? And Obi-Wan Kenobi says, well, he did seduce and murder your father. What I told you was true from a certain point of view. You know, and this is when he actually sits down next to Luke. A hologram needs to sit down, apparently.
Well, you know, he got tired.
I can go, and the New York Knicks were not seduced and murdered by the dark side of any force. They took Obi Toppin at number eight. TJ, you don't need to see his identification. Obi Toppin is the pick at eight for the Knicks, TJ. There you go. Now I'm getting more of the mainstream Obi-Wan Kenobi lines.
See, no, that's good, because you want to make sure, because we're mass communicating here.
Yes.
That's right. You know the reference.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Twitter, I don't look anything like Pappy O'Daniel, but, you know, here we are.
He is the effervescent Mike Harmon on Twitter, at Swollen Dome, at How About a Fresca. So let's get to it, something we haven't dug into deep yet. We have a lot of angles on the Seahawks win over the Arizona Cardinals tonight. Look, two incredibly exciting teams, and you can break it down for the Seahawks and Cardinals is to say both of these teams, they're in it and in a shootout every week. It's a toss-up for them to win. That's good if you're the Cardinals because it shows you've come a long way. You can beat anybody in the NFL. It's bad for the Seahawks because they're a Super Bowl team. You know, I picked them to go to the Super Bowl before the season. People just don't know that. And
you gotta
finally,
make sure
their
you
defense
keep shouting that.
Yeah, finally their defense came through tonight. And it was a great effort by them because their offense was able to control the football because they ran the football better tonight with Carlos Hyde than they've run the football in 5 weeks. They finally had one healthy running back who can find a hole and get between and get in it, and that's why they're able to keep their defense off the field and win. But tonight, the performance by DK Metcalf, and pretty much he's really becoming, over the course of the last couple of weeks, he's gone from, boy, this is one of the best young receivers in the NFL, to he could be the best receiver in the NFL in a very short period of time. His arrival moment, obviously, is chasing down Buda Baker on the interception. It's not even a catch he made. You know, that all the memes that ran from that were just insane, of different people's heads running against each other that have gone after that big play. And that really put him on the map as far as everybody knows who he is, right? You know, fantasy people knew DK Metcalf, and the big-time NFL fan knew DK Metcalf. But that was really his, hey, this is my moment. And now that he got to play in a big-time game tonight on national television, you got to see the skill set of DK Metcalf on display. Despite the fact he's playing against a couple of really good cornerbacks, Metcalf still had a good game, caught a big touchdown, almost got in a big fight with Dre Kirkpatrick. Look, he was going to fight the entire Cardinals team. It's just looking like it's DK Metcalf's time, and he's really, you know, hit the stage now with being this guy. But he's not very far away from being the best receiver in the NFL, because he's one of the top five receivers right now, without a doubt. You watch him play, and he looks like his game combines. He's like Brandon Marshall and Dez Bryant. If both of them at the highest points of their career, if they were one wide receiver, that's kind of what he looks like. Physical and can shield you from the ball like Brandon Marshall would do and Dez Bryant would do really good, but still fast enough to get out and a good route runner like Brandon Marshall was. He kind of reminds me of both of like the best of both of them together. This guy's going to be an absolute superstar. He's only 22 years old. The one thing for him is he's got to get a little more consistent, because he's up there for yards and touchdowns, but he has too many games where he catches less than five passes. He still drops a couple too many passes. He dropped a couple tonight. You talked about that earlier. He doesn't get targeted as much as you would expect DK Metcalf to get targeted, especially since he's the number one guy in the passing game by far. But he still has too many games where, boy, you know, he only caught three passes. He only caught four passes. I mean, he's got to have a six-catch game has to be his minimum. And so as soon as he can get a little more consistent with that, we're talking about, boy, DK Metcalf is better than DeAndre Hopkins, you know, because he's this young and he is this good already. It's just that consistency he's got to work on.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things coming into the NFL, we knew he was a physical freak, right? Because we'd seen all the workout footage. Here he's got a 24-pack, because it ain't a six-pack. I don't know what the hell's going on there. He got extra abs that have been implanted or something. But either way, just a monster who needed to refine his route running, and he's gotten better. But we had, as you alluded to, a couple of drops today that could have given the Seahawks more separation. So just cleaning up some of that along the way. The visor, I don't know how much it helped or hindered on those particular plays. I'd be curious to ask. Or maybe it was the glow off of the highlighter uniforms and the lights or something where there were problems. But the fact is, you got Lockett on the other side. And I want to make sure he gets his just due here too, because he's a fantastic receiver that is going to open up a lot of things for Metcalf as these two grow together. Because you saw Wilson find Lockett in the back of the end zone. That's a great route. That is a great drop in and, you know, just catch to the corner of the end zone. Just a fantastic play. But with Metcalf, you've got all of those. I mean, we've seen the speed on display, and we've seen that so many times at this point that you just say, all right, check that box. Consistency. And just the highlight videos, right? It's all about building a hype machine is really what it does. And unfortunately, he's got the quarterback that gets more hype than he does, especially in this would-be MVP season. So I don't know that he's going to get the just due, right? Because Kyler Murray's a big deal in Arizona, without a question, and a lot of love across the NFL. But who was the story last week? Because the degree of difficulty on that throw was far higher than Hopkins making the catch.
Oh, I don't know about that. It was a good throw, but you're talking about one guy going up with amongst three defenders and
right,
making
three
that
defenders
play?
Who are shorter than him.
Yeah, they're an inch shorter
on him.
It's not like he's 6'7", and these guys were all Hamburglers running around. It's not like you and I were trying to jump. There were an inch shorter than him.
Jerk. By the way, McRib comes back next week. But just to finish the point, though, I mean, it's a 60-yard throw against his body towards the sideline. That's all.
Okay. Just, I think a lot of quarterbacks can make that throw. I think a lot of quarterbacks can run and make that throw. And just throw it up there to get it to a spot where you can complete a pass. Yeah, I think a lot of guys can make that.
Look, the other point is the Josh Allen throw was better, but that's a whole
other
thing.
That was a phenomenal throw. Yes, that was a fantastic
throw. The
throw-catch
there, degree of difficulty on both sides, higher. Man. But the point just being, Metcalf, I don't think is going to get the hype to the same level because of the Russell Wilson effect, at least not this year. It's going to take some time for that momentum to build. Mr. Unlimited wins out, right? Because this week was all about DeAndre Hopkins and his strong hands. They're probably making casts of those so they can sell them to memorabilia collectors right now.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Sir, I'd like to spank your bald head and lick it.
Not much to say after that, except Steve is walking merrily down the street. Just think about that for a second. How do you come up with the first line of the song? We got this really cool riff. It goes, doo, 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 doo. What do you think the first line should be? Steve walks merrily down the street. What? Yeah. That's what it's going to be. That's what it is, really? Steve walks merrily down
the... Okay. Well, warily, right? Yes. Yeah,
I thought it was merrily.
No, it's warily.
Warily? Well, it doesn't matter. Merrily and warily is still two bad things. Neither one is better than the other. I always thought it was merrily, really? Am I 50 years old finding for the first time it's not merrily?
I always thought it was warily.
Hang on. I'm looking at it right now. Okay. Well, it's coming up on Google, so that's good. Oh, okay. Hang on. Steve walks merrily down the street. Steve walks warily down the street. Oh. Wait a minute. Now it says it is merrily. No, now it says it's warily.
Cautiously, carefully, and then he gets in a fight.
Steve tiptoes
merrily,
down.
He's chilling in the. Oh, no! Look out! Here comes the chair!
Oh,
from
my
out of
goodness.
The corner!
I can't believe it. I always thought it was merrily. Who knew?
Who knew?
Wow.
The day after you turn 50, you learn something huge.
I know, right? It's amazing. I'll always remember. When did Robinson Cano get suspended for the year for PEDs? When I turned 50, November 18th, 2020. That's what it was. I'll always know that day. Oh.
The day you almost caught.
You'll remember today is the day. So you're not going to believe who's being blamed for the Cardinals' loss tonight to the Seattle Seahawks. Well, maybe you will. It's Cliff Kingsbury. All over social media, it's all Cliff Kingsbury's fault because he doesn't call the right plays. The Cardinals are... Oh, my goodness. The Cardinals in one season have gone from, hey, you know, we're the Cardinals to, man, we could be a Super Bowl contender. They've lost a couple of games. Okay, they have. Cliff Kingsbury is still figuring things out a bit, all right, because not like Cliff Kingsbury was somebody who, oh, this guy's the next great head coach. Yeah, he was going to be an offensive coordinator, and then he failed upward.
Yes.
But all the hate is coming down on the bat, and it was a bad challenge for Kingsbury to challenge a play late in the fourth quarter where Carlos Hyde clearly recovered a fumble from the Seattle Seahawks. And that's where all the hatred and vitriol is going. And this is one time when I look at things and I go, okay, so many things are misplaced here. All right, yes, it wasn't the greatest challenge, but it didn't factor at the end of the game. You got sacked on 4th and 10, right? There was still time left. It wasn't that, oh, if you had that one timeout left, you could have stopped the clock and gotten the ball back. Time was not a factor. All right, it was not a factor at the end of this game. And, you know, it's play calling. Why are we throwing the ball to Isabella on the big plays? Look, the games go the way the games go, all right? If Russell Wilson threw a frantic fourth down pass, and instead of DK Metcalf, he throws it to Dallas or Hyde, oh, what's he not throwing? Well, you throw the ball where the play is going to be called or where you think you have the guy open, all right? This is like, all right, let's just try to manufacture something. I would rather have Cliff Kingsbury than Adam Gase. I think many teams would rather have Cliff Kingsbury than
Correct.
Whoever they wind up having.
Take Matt Nagy
as their head coach right now. In a second, because look at what he's done. It's like Kyler Murray showed up and done everything all by himself, right? That's it. He's done it all by himself. No, this was not a really good team. They made a really good trade to get DeAndre Hopkins, all right? They've done the right things. This is an offense that is dangerous as hell. And what's Cliff Kingsbury's bread and butter? It's offense. Right, I think you're just looking to blame a guy too much. You're 6-4, and 25 other teams would love to have the problems you have. I don't see head coach being a problem for the Arizona Cardinals.
No, it's just one of those divisional games, spotlight game off by itself, and one that was in within reach, right? Because there were a couple of times you'd see the thread as they called maybe an extra run towards Kenyon Drake. It's like, okay, you're trying to establish the run. He didn't have a monster game by any stretch of the imagination, but you don't abandon it altogether. And so when you look at the pocket being collapsed and the pinch on the outside that we've talked about over the course of the night, Kyler Murray wasn't getting his normal juice either, right? He didn't have running lanes. He finished with 15 rushing yards. As a team, they rushed for 100 fewer yards tonight than they have on average this season. Give the Seahawks a little bit of credit for showing up. You know, familiarity of a divisional opponent and the fact that Russell Wilson doesn't lose three games in a row. He just doesn't.
I don't get the when I get the instant gratification. It's got to something's got to be at fault here. Why
sure,
is it? Why are we doing
course.
This? And I understand that part of it, but I just don't see why things are so bad. There was no mistake. It's not like Vic Fangio, you know, leaving his timeouts in his pocket, which is what are you doing? You're costing your team the game. This is one of those reaches. This is I'm reaching to blame the coach. Like every week is not on Adam Gase for the Jets. I mean, most weeks are, but every week is not on Adam Gase. You know, I can't say every week is something where, boy, he's been absolutely terrible. You know, but most weeks are. But some weeks when it's not, I can't say, boy, this is really Adam Gase's fault. Because all right, it wasn't Adam Gase's fault. This is one of the times where's the real thing he did bad? Yeah, he had a bad challenge, but it's not like it really affected the game. You know, so sometimes you just got to take
a timeout there anyway, wouldn't he? I mean,
right, you probably would have called a timeout anyway, so it really doesn't matter. So you take the challenge because you never know what's going to happen, and it stops the clock anyway. So I feel like, you know, sometimes you get to a point where, boy, everybody wants to hate so much. They can't just sit back and say, we lost on the road to Russell Wilson and a really good offense. All right, that's the right way to look at this. But you know, again, people aren't going to look at that. Even in Arizona now, they're so crazed because now we have hopes and dreams where we didn't have them when we drafted Josh Rosen. So now I'm so mad, I'm angry.
No, but that's what it is, though. After years of toil and struggle, you make a couple of good moves, right? Because bringing on Kenyon Drake last year, great move, right? Why got Miami changed how they wanted to run their culture. They changed up personnel. You saw how they played for Flores last year. That's fine. Kenyon Drake goes and becomes a star in Arizona, and he's followed up pretty nicely. The tandem that he and Chase Edmonds have right now, that's a pretty formidable duo when you add, you know, Kyler Murray. Just trying to get through it fast. Kyler Murray. And his normal running exploits, which didn't happen tonight, right? That changes the entirety of how the offense can run if that's taken away from you. And quite clearly, Seattle said, we're taking that away. Stand in the pocket and deliver. And they struggled to do so and to have the normal run of their offense flow through. So it's one game, but once you have expectations and everybody's making points of, hey, look, it's a three-way tie in the NFC West, and you're banging the drum thinking greatness is out there for you, someone's got to be at fault, man, because you lost on the big stage. So that's the 24-hour news cycle of sports talk radio, baby. Hot take nonsense. Get it out there. Get that flamethrower.
Murley. Coming up in 90 seconds, we're going to head out and talk to one of our big Seattle insiders and get the big breakdown of the huge Thursday night win. But first,
be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Joining us now on the hotline, a man who began his broadcasting career with me at ESPN Radio all those years ago, been a decade-long host in middays and ESPN in Seattle, Tom Wassel. Tom, what's happening, my man?
Jason, great to hear from you, buddy. How we doing?
Dude, we're doing well. The Jets suck, so there's that.
But
the Seahawks are good.
Oh, goodness, man. Can you imagine, like, having to cover the Jets every single day and how just utterly – I mean, you're a fan, so you can't imagine it. But for all your listeners, man, ugly.
They live it every day, Tom.
Yeah.
Through Jason.
I can't imagine, brother.
hey, wait a minute. Stop for time out for 1 second. You've been in Seattle for a decade, but you know what, man? Blank you. You're a Giants fan. You're just as bad as we are. You grew up a Giants fan. Don't try to play this off like, oh, yeah, the Jets have all these problems.
Jason, whoa. Do not distort the situation, okay? I got 4 Super Bowls to my credit, and my team's actually getting better. You guys are just wandering around out in the Sahara Desert right now with no water, okay? Giants are in much better condition.
Yes, they are. Well, yeah, especially because, you know, you guys had that big fist fight the other day that happened between Joe Judge and Mark Colombo.
We're
at least not getting in fist fights. We're not ready for that yet.
At least they care.
That's the best comeback ever. At least they care.
That's true.
In other words, the Jets, we don't know.
No, we'd have to tank in fights. We'd have to listen, the fights are bad. We got to tank this fight so we can get Trevor Lawrence. Hey, so, buddy, your Seahawks, finally tonight, they put together a big defensive effort. I know we're trying not to laugh when we say this, but this is a defense that I thought they could at least play this way most of the season. Instead, they save it till now to finally have a good game.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, we've been saying all year that with the way that the offense plays, like if Russell Wilson plays to near perfection every single time out, which he hasn't the last couple of weeks, but you know, if he does, really all you need is an adequate performance. Like if you're handing out grades, if they turned in like a C+ performance every single week, that's probably good enough to get it done. You know, hold your opponent to 300 yards, 25 or so points, something like that. You're probably going to win a lot of games doing that. Tonight, they actually looked legit, and you know, and it was against a good opponent. I mean, Arizona is a, you know, that's not Ryan Fitzpatrick. Even I know the Dolphins have been okay, but you know, they played him earlier in the season. They had a decent performance, so we're saying, yeah, but it's, you know, not a great offensive team. It's not San Francisco with a hobbled Jimmy Garoppolo and a bunch of injured players. This is a good offense they went up against. So it was a credible performance by their defense. Now they're getting healthier. They've got Damon Harrison on the field. Dunlap has turned out to be more impactful as a pickup than I thought he would be. Adams is healthy. I mean, he missed like 5 games in a row there. So they had a couple of things working in their favor tonight. Can it continue? Maybe. Maybe is the answer, because, I mean, they certainly haven't done enough just to say, all right, well, they're fine now. But look, 1 or 2 players on a defense can make a heck of a difference, because then everybody else can go out and just do their job and not worry and about having to cover for one another. So, yeah, I think that tonight was a good statement, certainly getting the ship pointed in the right direction.
Good job of pinching on the edges and making Murray work out of the pocket. So that's obviously huge. But the schedule plays a big part in this. The next few weeks should be wins, although I do note that you have the Giants and the Washington football team.
Yeah,
the two teams with really good defenses, at least. But you know what? They can't score with you.
Could you imagine that, like, the Seahawks go out there and they hold Kyler Murray and that offense to, you know, 21 points, and then somehow they find a way to lose to the Giants or the Jets, like, you know, 19-13. I mean, here's the thing, okay? I mean, Russell Wilson and that offense, in their sleep, should be able to put up 21 points. I mean, even on days where they're out of rhythm and they have no healthy running backs available. I mean, Carlos Hyde being healthy tonight was a big, big help. And we can get into the more balanced offense topic if you want. But that threat of a bomb to DK Metcalf or a bomb to Tyler Lockett for a huge pickup or a touchdown is always there, even if they have looked terrible for 3 quarters. So that's why if you're going to beat the Seahawks, I mean, you really got to shut them down the entire game, because one play and they can turn it around. That's how dangerous. I mean, they're dangerous on the level with a Kansas City or some other great offense. I mean, that threat is there. But do I see them struggling with the Giants or the Jets? No. I mean, Washington's defense is better than you think statistically. I haven't watched them close enough to know really how physical they are or how they would match up directly, say, in the trenches. But, yeah, I mean, the rest of the schedule, they should get – I mean, even the divisional opponents, before the season, you know, they had that 49er game, I think, on the week 17. Before the season, you're thinking, all right, well, it's probably going to come down to them and the 49ers or them and the Rams. But that 49er game, I mean, those guys, they're basically done. They may play hard, and Nick Mullins has actually given them some problems in the past. But, you know, it certainly is set up. The opportunity is there for them to take it.
You're going to lose to the Jets 37-3, and you're going to say, oh my God, we let Sam Darnold throw for 450 yards.
Is he even playing? Aren't they? Like, what is, I thought he got benched.
No. No, he got hurt.
They broke him.
I thought they sent him back to USC to get his, like, MBA or something. I don't know.
Listen, the Jets and the Giants are going to combine to one team to play both those games to give us the best chance of winning. So it'll be all Giants
players. I love that idea.
Yeah,
that's just, you know what? They probably still couldn't beat anybody, but at least some people would watch it.
I wonder how many Jets players would be on that team. It would be all Giants and like two Jets.
That's right. Oh man, it's so sad. Man, New York sports is just weird right now. But you never know.
You can follow him on Twitter at Tom Wassel, Decade, hosting Middays in Seattle. And you could also get on his case about the Giants because, oh my goodness, are the Giants terrible. Tom, buddy, always good catching up with you, man. I appreciate it. We'll talk soon. And I won't forget how you insulted the Jets.
Take care, fellas.
See you, buddy.
Have a good one. Tom's a fun dude, man. He started out at ESPN. He was a technical director of the show. And he started out when I was doing All Night, and he was technical director, you know, doing what Tyshirt does. And he really wanted to be on air, and he, you know, he worked at it, and got a couple of gigs, and he's been in Seattle for the last 10 years hosting Middays.
Well, there you go. Boom.
Tyshirt, if you want to get to this side of the microphone and do sports, all you got to do is just, you know sports for a little bit, and then you can do it.
So I think we heard different things there, Jay. What I heard is one day I'll be your boss. Is that what I'm hearing? I think that's what I heard from all this.
Tyshirt being the boss is like at the end of 30 Rock when Kenneth took over. It's like, what's going on here?
Good day. I need hot takes. My voice will change too. Yeah.
Give me hot take. I give it to you. Coming up next, we have play of night for you. Also, we have hot take from LaMelo Ball. All coming your way right here. This is Radio Freedom. Fox Sports Radio right here on Fox. The Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon, live from the Geico Studios. Got the play of the night coming your way in a couple of minutes, but, you know, the last couple of days with the Ball family has been, I would say, interesting is an understatement. You had Lonzo Ball unmasked on the Masked Singer. Sorry, spoiler, but it's been 24 hours. LaMelo Ball goes number 3 overall in the NBA draft, and suddenly, hey, here comes the Ball family back again. But one thing that has kind of bothered me, Mike, has been the reaction everybody's had to LaMelo Ball getting drafted by Michael Jordan. And suddenly it's, this is the worst. I can't believe it. Jordan is opening him up to where I have to worry about LaVar Ball, who already wants a rivalry with Michael Jordan. And this is never going to work. And LaMelo's not going to work there. And all of these things. And, you know, I get that. But at some point you have to look and say, who else was really there in the draft? There was nobody else. You had a couple of decent players. Look, Obi Toppin is pretty good, but if he was that good, he would have gone higher than 8. All right, you had players at 1 and 2 that how far away are they from being impact players if they ever are? LaMelo Ball has the biggest skill set of anybody coming into the NBA. Does he have his issues? Yeah, but this wasn't a great draft. So, yeah, the guy you're going to take a chance on in this draft is LaMelo Ball. If it doesn't work, you move on from him, right? You give him a couple of seasons. If it doesn't work, he's going to be on another team. He's going to be someplace else. If you are looking at this draft, there's no Zion, there's no Ja Morant, there was no anybody of that kind of impact. LaMelo Ball was the guy. Does he come with a bucket of issues that's LaVar Ball? Sure he does, but it's the same thing as Wiseman coming in with issues and Edwards and Toppin. If it doesn't work after a couple of years, you figure it out, and you send him someplace else. It's just like anything else. And to sit here and go, oh, there was no place he was going to go, people were going to say, oh, that's a great fit for him. You, sometimes you just have to take a chance and hope it works out when you take the most talented guy in the draft.
All incomplete prospects. And this happens in every sport. It's not just basketball, but this one, the truncated season, no summer league, a lot of stuff that we've chronicled. You got a guy who needs work on his shot and learns needs to learn to play some defense. Under the tutelage of Jordan, however hands-on he is, perhaps you get a little bit of a bridge there. But, yeah, you take your shot. You got the guy that can at least get you some relevancy and excitement to the city.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome. Time now for the play of the night brought to you by Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Well, sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy. Well, when you are a much maligned defense and you make the play of the night and you have a pretty good night overall to win a big game on Thursday Night Football, well, Seahawks defense, you get to be the play of the night.
Tom Moore, then at Indianapolis, the offensive coordinator, you got to bust it.
Empty backfield. Murray takes the snap. Looks, gets hit, goes down. Seahawks sack. Murray getting there was Dunlap. Came off the edge, almost untouched. Huge play by the Seahawks defense, and the Hawks are going to win this game at Lumen Field, and it's going to come on a great defensive play with 34 seconds left in the game.
Seahawks Radio Network on the call. You think they're going to call it the Lou now? Will they call it the Lou?
They could.
Let's go to the Lou.
I know the giant toilet bowl is in Chicago. That's what Soldier Field looks like.
For Mike, I'm Jason. We'll talk to you tomorrow. My buddy Ben is up next.